not so sure about this being referred to as Brother Holt Sr. now. Certainly, we're so glad to be here for this meeting. We've been trying to come to this camp for a number of years. And this year, when Brother Hannigan Sr. said that he would like to go to the Caribbean, and we were slated to go to the Caribbean, I just very quickly put up my hand and said, well, we would like to come to Pine Lodge. We're very glad to be here, and it's been, even in the meeting so far and in the fellowship together, it's been such a blessing to be amongst the body and to partake of that anointing of His Spirit that is so rich and so real and so true. You know, the Lord is doing a work, as Brother Byron has been ministering to us this morning. The Lord is doing a genuine work among us. And we are being changed and transformed by the power of His Spirit. We might think that it's a small thing to gather together in a company of people and sense the moving of His Spirit among us. And not only sense the moving of His Spirit among us, but participate in it and enter into it. As it's been spoken this morning, that is a life-changing event. Not a one-time thing, but every time we enter into that and yield to the Spirit, we are changed by the power of His Spirit in us. And that is the work that the Lord is doing among us. You know, the Lord, it seems that deliberately He takes things that are so unlikely and uses that to bring forth His purpose and fulfill His word. And you know, if we were to visit some of the great organizations and establishments that are in the earth today, we would say, surely the Lord could use that. And surely the Lord would choose to minister that way. But instead, He chooses those that He will choose, and He sets them apart. And though in ourselves, it's not that we feel unable. We know that we are unable. We know that we bring nothing but ourselves. And the Lord can take that and fulfill His word, even like it was prophesied this morning in our midst, that He is able to declare His word to us, and He is able to fulfill it. Whether we can understand it, whether we can grasp what He is saying or not, He has chosen to do that among us. We meet together in these meetings, as Brother Byron has been saying and speaking to us this morning, that we expect that when these meetings are complete, we will know that the Lord has done something. And you know, that's true every time when we meet in our local assemblies, when we enter into the moving of His Spirit in our local assemblies. He does a work there that is a changing and transforming work in us. Praise God. Praise God.
Richard, could you step closer to the mic, please?
Okay, sorry. I'll have to remember that. And there, just as the service was unfolding last night, and as the Lord was moving in our midst last night, there just some thoughts that began to stir, and I just jotted down a few things as that was happening, and I'm always a little reluctant to just kind of be running up to the place of ministry, because it seems like there are very capable ministries amongst us. But the Lord has set a body in order for a purpose. He has called out members of that body to function. We don't gather together here for the purpose of just enjoying ourselves. We gather together for the purpose of functioning, for ministering that flow of life from member to member. And the only way that can happen, the only way that can take place, is as the Lord places His hand upon you, that you yield and you allow the Spirit to work and to accomplish His will in your life and in mine. Praise God. He has placed every part there for a purpose. Praise God. Some thoughts that came to mind was in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Now just read through this. And as different thoughts that just seem to stand out come to mind, I'll just comment as we go through. But this is Acts chapter 10. It says, "And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always." And this man, you know, when we look at things that are unlikely or things that we wouldn't expect the Lord to work in this way, here's a man that was a centurion soldier. He was a Roman soldier. He had 100 men under his command. And here was the nation of Israel under bondage or under occupied by the Romans. And from a natural perspective, we wouldn't expect to see the Lord begin to move in the heart and the life of a Roman soldier. We would say, well, here's his chosen people over here, and here's everybody else over here. But the Lord looks at the heart. He looks right past all of that, and He looks at your heart personally. And He sees your desire and your longing, and He meets you there. And when He looked, in verse 3, and he saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." You know, no doubt this man was doing what he knew. He felt this desire in his heart to reach out to the Lord. And everything that he seemed to be impressed on his heart to do, he did it. You know, he spent time looking to the Lord. It speaks there that he gave alms. He gave of his substance to those that were in need. And the Lord was observing his walk and watching the desire of his heart and preparing a place for him to fit in. "And he lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the angel who spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier and those that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all those things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter was up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." And you know, it just seems that such an illustration of how the Lord goes before us in even the small aspects of our life and our walk. Here was this man that was waiting on the Lord, and the Lord began to prepare the way. He said, you know, you send your servants to Joppa, and there's a man there that you I need to meet and to talk to. And meanwhile, the Lord was preparing the way in Peter's heart and in Peter's life. And he became, he's talking about Peter, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a deep trance, and he saw the heavens opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let it down to the earth, in which were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call thou not common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter was perplexed, what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men who were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And Peter had the vision of all of these things. And these things, it would probably make a lot more, it would have a greater impression upon someone that understood the Jewish requirements, the Jewish law, perhaps better than we do. You know, those things we know something about. But for someone that was raised in all of those laws and ordinances and had walked faithfully in them. And then he saw this vision of all of these things that he was not supposed to touch. He was not supposed to partake of. And he had kept those commandments carefully. And seeing that vision three times at all of these things, and the voice spoke to him and said, "You know, just eat of those. Partake of those things and eat of them." He said, "Not, you know, there's no way. There's no way that I can do that." And the voice said, "Don't call the things that I have cleansed unclean." And the thought of that was just kind of the thing that was stirring last night in the service. As the Lord was speaking to us. As the Lord was kind of moving upon us last night and again this morning in the meeting. Moving upon us and drawing us into the place, into that closer walk with the Lord. I could examine myself and I could look at myself and say, you know, in my life, there are things that are things that have no place as far as a pure walk before the Lord. I can go back into my past. And I can look at things. And I can say there are things in my past that cannot possibly fit into a walk with the Lord. And yet the Spirit of the Lord was moving upon us in a real and deep way. And the thought that just seemed to come out as we were, as the service was moving on last night was, the Lord has cleansed. He has taken things from my life and He has cleansed them. And we are able to arise and walk and enter in because of the work that He has done in my life. No other reason. If we were in some way kind of perhaps as a Jewish a religious society of Peter's day, you know, they had all the rules and the all of the laws and they endeavored to follow those things with the thought that that would take them into a closer walk with the Lord. And the Lord has taken those things and just set them aside. And Jesus looked on the society of that time. He said, "You know, there's a lot of outward show here, but it's what's inside that really matters." And the Lord is able. He is able to take my life, no matter what. Where it began, no matter what things might have been in there. And He is able to take that and cleanse it and purify it and make it acceptable in His sight. Praise God. And as the Lord was speaking to Peter about this, He was preparing. He was preparing Peter for what was about to happen. Here was a Roman soldier, the servants of a Roman soldier, being sent down the trip, down the road to meet Peter and to talk with him. And the Lord was preparing Peter's heart for what was about to happen. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call thou not common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter was perplexed what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men who were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And he called and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee, and therefore get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men who were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause for which ye are come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a righteous man, a one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee to his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the next day Peter went with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the next day after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends." And Cornelius, you know, you can kind of see a little bit of faith at work there. The Lord had been speaking to Cornelius. He had seen the vision and he had sent him. And Cornelius was not just waiting to see what would happen. He knew, he was expecting. He was expecting that the Lord was about to do a work there. And he began to call together those others that he knew that would also be open to what the Lord would be doing. And Peter, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." As he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know that it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." The Lord had prepared Peter's heart for that. It was not only something that was against his conscience, it was against the laws of the Jewish people for him to come and fellowship with a Gentile in that way. "Therefore came I unto you without objection, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. Behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast come, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee, that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Praise God. That door is open to each one of us. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what our background might be. The Lord is looking as He is reaching out. He is looking for those where there is that desire and that hunger in their heart. And He will overstep every barrier. He will overstep every obstacle. He will remove everything that stands in the way for you and I to enter into that walk with Him. Praise God. We cannot do that. Cornelius could not do that on his own. Although he sought the Lord, he did everything that he knew of himself to do. And he sought the Lord. He could not enter in on his own. The Spirit of the Lord came and He opened that door so that he could enter in. Praise God. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, this is Peter's giving him a little teaching here. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus, He is Lord of all. The word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John had preached. And these things, as Peter was talking to this centurion soldier, he was kind of just revealing to him or reminding him of things that had occurred and not so many years ago. You know, these citizens of that country would be familiar with many of the things that took place when Jesus was on earth and how these things transpired. And no doubt someone that was in the ranks of the Roman military would be well acquainted with the things that had taken place. But Peter, by the Spirit, began to unfold to him the deeper things that had taken place in those events. How God, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John had preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed, who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And that was kind of Peter was just telling him the events that had taken place after Jesus was put to death. He was raised back to life again. And he was seen by a number after he was risen from the dead. And you know, our own thoughts might think, well, you know, why didn't Jesus just go out and again have a public demonstration of the fact that he was risen from the dead? You'd think that would be a pretty significant thing if he would just go out and say, show himself. But the Lord chooses. He chooses how he will work. He chooses how he will unfold His Word. He has set in place His plan and His purpose, and He will unfold it as He chooses. And sometimes we might feel in ourselves, and sometimes we hear it spoken that, well, you know, you're just a small group, and you feel that the Lord is working in the midst of your group. Why doesn't He just pour His Spirit out over the whole earth and just transform the whole earth? We perhaps don't know why that is that way. But He chooses how He will work. Now remember, this is not perhaps the most accurate illustration, because I'm not very well versed in biology, but I remember reading a while ago, this is a number of years ago, about the honeybee and how the honeybee lays the eggs in the nest, and the egg is fertilized and it begins to develop into the immature little insect. There's a proper term for that, I'm sure, but this little thing is growing there. And the queen bee comes and puts a drop of the royal jelly somewhere on that form that is growing there. And that action sets in order the proper development of that little insect. And it sets off like a chain reaction. That wherever that place is connected, that royal jelly touches, that is the starting point. And those cells begin to develop in a specific way. And they it sets off, this cell will begin to grow and develop into part of an organ of that insect. And that once that happens, it connects with another one, which connects with another one. And pretty soon the shape and the form of that insect begins to come together. And that process continues until that little insect that is growing there comes to a place of full growth. All of those parts and all of that order comes into its rightful place as that pattern that has been laid out there begins to unfold and begins to take place step by step, bit by bit, until that whole process continues till that insect reaches its full development. And somehow in our walk, though we can possibly not understand it, you can't help but feel that the Lord is working in us a long ways like that. He is setting in motion, which perhaps from an outward appearance we cannot understand. But He has chosen. He has chosen how He will do it. We look at this gathering here. Perhaps, you know, the larger part of this community is unaware of the moving of the Spirit in the gathering as we meet together. And yet the Lord has chosen to begin to set His house in order, step by step, piece by piece, one step leading to another. And as Peter was revealing to the centurion there how that Jesus had risen from the dead and had revealed Himself to those few, he was describing to the centurion that process that the Lord Himself had set in motion. And that those steps that had begun there where bars of death had been broken and Jesus was set there to enter into that life that all might follow in those footsteps and that body might begin to come together. Praise God. And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name Whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them who heard the word. And they of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as who came with Peter, because the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then asked they him to tarry certain days. As Peter was ministering there to this group that the centurion had gathered together, the Spirit of the Lord began to rest upon them. And the Jews that were there with Peter were amazed to see the work of the Spirit beginning to rest upon these Gentiles. And they were touched and they were filled with the anointing of the Spirit. And then Peter said, "Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And it was kind of, I guess we would look at doing things the other way around. But Peter was ministering to them there and the Spirit began to rest upon them, he said, "Well, you know, maybe we should baptize them as well." And they were baptized. But all of that human barrier, the Lord just set it aside that he could fulfill his word. Somehow, that was a thought that just seemed to come out last night as the Spirit of the Lord was moving in our midst. That there are no barriers. There are no barriers that the Lord is not able to overcome. Even as we fellowship with one another, we come from many different walks of life. The Lord has said that we would be one people. And He is working in us to bring that unity together amongst us. And it is in process. That process is taking place. We are being joined together into one body. There is a love that the Lord has placed in our hearts for one another that is real. It is a genuine work of the Spirit that He's placed in our heart for one another. No, even though sometimes we perhaps don't know too much about the details of one another's life, yet there is a connection and a joining together as the Spirit of the Lord moves among us. Praise God. We are so thankful for that this morning. Praise God. I'd like to also, if we could just read in Ephesians 1 this morning. And it won't be very long, so you'll have a little longer lunch break. Ephesians 1. In verse 14, maybe we'll just back up a little bit to bring it into context. Maybe starting about verse 8. "In whom he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." Now we see that in our experience, in our walk with the Lord, he reveals his will to us. You know, we're taught by the elders We've been taught over the years of the various things that the Lord has brought out, His truth, and He's made it known to us. But, you know, even in very small details of our personal life, the Lord reveals His will to us. You know, sometimes in your family, you're not sure, should we be doing this or should we be doing that? Or maybe you're praying for your children and so on. And parents know what that's all about. we never come to the place, I don't think, where you're finished praying for your children and then you're praying for your grandchildren. And it's a wonderful thing. It's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. But what we are after in all of that is that His will comes to the forefront. We begin to walk in His will. I think, you know, that's probably some of the work that the Lord has begun to accomplish in us, is making this clay a little more willing and a little easier, so that when He begins to reveal what He wants, there is a willingness within just to do that. And I think we're beginning to find that. That we don't really want to be heading way off over here when the Lord is calling us to walk here. We know that this is where the blessing, this is where the hand of the Lord will be revealed. It's when I find my place walking with Him and letting Him lead and guide in even the really small things in our life. You know, I think it says something about the greatness of the Lord that we serve. The fact that He can see and deal with the small things in our life. You know, sometimes little circumstances will come up in our life, unexpected, and you just stop for a minute and ask the Lord for help. And He is there. He is there to be with you and to help you. And I know if, you know, we had an opportunity for us all to come up and give testimonies about that, we all could. We all could say, well, that's right. I remember once being under this, in this circumstance, and we brought it before the Lord, and He worked it out. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together into one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and are on earth, even in Him. That is, in one verse, is the overview of what the Lord is doing. There's nothing left out. All things in heaven and in earth are being brought in to that order and that walk with Him. Even though He chooses to begin in a very small and seemingly insignificant way, maybe in your life and in my life, in your family's life, those lives that are upon your heart that you remember in prayer, that perhaps you have spoken to, even though those things don't seem to be monumental things, yet the end result is a complete transformation of all things coming together in that unity and that walk in submission and in order before the Lord. Tremendous, tremendous work that the Spirit is bringing about in each of our lives, bringing us into that place. Praise God. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. I know sometimes we can get a little bit, our human intellect can get a little bit perturbed by words like predestinated. We begin to mull that over and try to understand that and argue about it. But perhaps it's enough to know that the Lord sees everything that has taken place in the past, and there is certainly nothing left to Him unknown for things in the future. And He is working today to set things in order that will continue in order for all time to come. He holds those things in His hand. I think even as we have read in the Scriptures, where the Lord has spoken to His people Israel, especially when they were walking contrary, He said, you know, who is there beside me? What God is there beside me? Who else do you know that can tell you how things are going to be? And then, without failing, can bring them to pass exactly as He had said. Who else do you know that can do that? Well, we know the answer to that. There's no one else. You know, mankind is very arrogant, and they will say all kinds of things, but I can tell you for a fact, there is no one that can determine the outcome but the Lord. Praise God. I worked for a lot of years in the field of engineering and doing building different plant modifications and projects and different things like that for this organization. And working on projects, and a tremendous amount of effort and energy goes into ensuring that you get the right result. It's not a good thing to start off hoping for the best and find out that you missed the mark. That's not a good thing. But a lot of resources and energy and skill and wisdom goes into that, into those plans, to try to achieve the desired result. And yet, there is always a gap of uncertainty about it. But when the Lord begins to speak to us, when He begins to reveal His truth to us, there is absolutely no uncertainty. He speaks His word to our heart, and we can lay hold upon that. When all of our future looks absolutely black, when we cannot see the sun shine for the circumstances that are in our life, His word has not wavered in the slightest. Those things that He has spoken to our heart and declared to be true are as steadfast in that hour as in the day when they will be fulfilled. Amen. There is no uncertainty on the road and on the pathway that the Lord has set before us. I remember on several occasions standing with the other brethren while hands have been laid on individuals to prophesy over different ones for the gifts of the Spirit and so on. And things are spoken that were for many years to come. And yet, you know, those words that have gone out that bore the anointing of the Spirit upon them, those words were as certain as though they had already taken place. Only the Lord can lead us on that path. Praise God. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Maybe some of those things are not all that easy to just understand what's being said, but there is a simple truth being laid out there, that the Lord has set before us His word and His promise. Those things are sure. We can walk in them. And He gives us what He calls the earnest of that promise. He gives us His Holy Spirit. He places that gift within us. And although we, as we stand here today, as we meet in these meetings, as we enter into the unity of that worship, as we walk that road, we haven't reached that final destination, but that earnest, that foretaste of that promise is alive in our heart. It is there, steadfast and sure. And sometimes when our feet perhaps will be a little bit distracted or maybe uncertain, that gift that the Lord has given us just keeps our feet walking steadfastly on the road that is before us. It is independent of our own will. It is independent of our own ability. It's independent of our own determination. Our own determination may just evaporate in the face of some circumstances. That gift of His Holy Spirit that He has placed within there will never be moved. He will speak words of truth to your heart. He will speak words of encouragement to your heart. He will hold our feet steadfast and sure, no matter what the circumstances might be, because He has placed it within us as that foretaste of those things which are to come to their fullness. When we feel that moving of His Spirit, we can rest assured that His Word is certain, and it will come to pass exactly as he said it would be. You know, sometimes it's in our own personal walk. We've had the experience of being prayed over, and the Lord has said certain things would come to pass in our life. And the next thing you know, it looks like anything but will come to pass in our life. You know, we wonder, but that gift that the Lord has placed there just keeps us in the place that we can lay hold on that. And we can press into it. We can keep entering into a deeper and deeper measure until we possess the full magnitude of the thing that the Lord has given to us. Praise God. But that is that earnest. And I think maybe perhaps the brethren have spoken and will speak more along that line for any that have not had that experience. That gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell within. That thing that we need to keep us walking in His way. Praise God. And also, just like to turn as well to Revelation 5. I think we'll just read the whole chapter there. It's not very long. And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the scroll, neither to look on it. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the scroll, neither to look on it. One of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David hath prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and on the four, and of the four and living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayer of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the scroll, to open the seals, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. But you know, it portrays such a clear picture. You know, if we were to think for a moment that human effort fit into that picture, you know, you just have to read that. You just have to read that. As John was witnessing that vision, he saw this symbolizes a scroll. You know, the Lord understands what all those things mean. But there was no one. There was no one that could do what absolutely needed to be done until it came to the place of the Lamb. Not by great achievement, but by great sacrifice. He laid down His life and made it possible for you and I to enter in. That is the way. There is no other way. Human effort cannot accomplish what only the Lord can accomplish. Human effort cannot make us worthy. Human effort cannot fit us into His mind and into His will. Human effort cannot set us there in our rightful place in the body. It takes that work of Jesus Christ in our life to wash away our sins. That work has been done. There is nothing, there remains nothing upon the face of the earth that is capable of withstanding the work of the washing, of the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. Under it, under every circumstance, under every condition, no matter what the need, no matter how great the sin, what has been done is capable. It is capable. It is able to wash and to cleanse and to purify, so we can stand today without condemnation. We can stand in the house of the Lord today without feeling that there are things in my life, because I have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And because of that alone, I am able. I am able. I have been redeemed from among men by His blood. Praise God. I can remember reading it a while ago, and I like to read these accounts. They are so inspiring. Just to read the simple work of the blood of the cross. How it can transform a life. I can remember the brethren teaching us in years gone by. I remember Brother Wager particularly ministering on this in this area, saying that it's not necessary for us to enter into sin, to walk a sinful path, to experience the power of being cleansed by the blood. We are born into sin. We are born into it. We need that cleansing power no matter what our walk. But I remember reading a while ago about a man who just simply felt it on his heart to run a mission. You know, his doors were open to everyone. Every person. He started off by just, if a person was hungry, you come in and we'll give you something to eat. But you have to pray. You come in here, but we will require of you to pray. And there was this particular man, I remember the particular incident here. This man, and this goes back a number of years, this man had been a professional lawyer and a very capable lawyer in his day. He belonged to the same law firm as Abraham Lincoln. But he had risen to a place of success, and he had begun to to start taking alcohol and to drink, and it got control of him. The alcohol got control of him and of his life, and he lost everything. It came to the point where his family left him. He was totally disconnected from his family. He lost his job, you know, years before that, and became unable to support himself. And he roamed the streets. He wore rags. I mean, he had his feet wrapped in rags, and he roamed the streets. I think it was Chicago, if I remember right. And he wandered into this mission. And the man said, "Well, yes, of course, you're welcome to have something to eat. Yeah, but you have to pray." "Oh, yeah, I'll pray. And so he did, and he just went through a simple prayer, and he did this day after day, and he went through this process day after day. And finally, the man that was running the mission got tired of this. He said, "Look, you're just here for the food, you know. You're just here for the food, and we don't really want you to come anymore." And he sent the man away. And after he had done that, he felt so bad. He felt so convicted for doing that. And he went out looking for this man up and down the streets of Chicago. And it took a long time, but he finally found him sitting on a bench somewhere in the streets of Chicago. And he brought him back, and he personally washed the man and changed his clothes and cleaned him up. And somehow a change had taken place in his life as well. And this man, when he prayed this time, he accepted that free gift of salvation in his life. And all of that bondage of that alcohol and all of the effects of it just left him. And his life was transformed. I don't remember just how that all fit together as far as his walk after. He stayed faithful to that call. But that work of Calvary was able. That work that the Lord had set there was able to just transform that life and set that individual in his rightful place in his kingdom. Praise God. There is no other way. Praise the Lord. "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. And every creature that is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four and living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." Praise God. The Lord has set in place for a purpose. And he is revealing unto us how we fit in. And even though we perhaps only get a little glimpse at a time, his plan and his purpose is being revealed and unfolded. Now we are being fit into that place as only he can cause us to be. And he is bringing us together into that body. Praise God. Praise God. Lord bless you.